From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Now, here are your hosts, Steve and Chris.
I thought it was a big blue roundtable. We're going to take it to a broad level on sports. Chris, what's going on? Blues Day recap, NFL, NBA, college basketball, college football, the whole shebang, man. What's going on, bro? How's everything, man?
I'm going to have to hang out with you, man, in that way because, because everything's all over the place, man. You know, I didn't hardly watch the World Series for obvious reasons.
Ooh,
you know, and
hell no.
And hockey just started. NBA, I got to wait, man. Nothing's defined right now. This is why we're here, man, because we need to teach each other. What's going on, man? I don't know. But I've been trying to watch college basketball lately, man, and just trying to get a feel of what's going on and that's not even working out for me. So we're going to figure it out as the show goes on, bro.
This is one of those. You might have to hit me something.
Huh?
Yeah, this is a Blues Day recap. When we say that's a Blues Day recap, on this platform, we do this every blue moon, about every once every 3-4 weeks or so. We're going to go all sports. So whatever stakeholder that calls in, whatever topic is on their mind, it doesn't have to be just the Giants or whatever squad they root for. It could be – let me ask you this, and I'll even ask all the stakeholders. Are you hyped about the Sunday night game, Brady versus Aaron Rodgers? And number two, I'll add on to that. Because the Giants are on a bye week, we feel the need not to talk about the Giants. If they want to bring up Giants, that's fine. That's cool. But we're going to look at all sports because I want to pick everybody's brain on everything. You know what I'm saying? So what their mind is about. What's your thoughts on the Sunday night football game? You think is this living up to Peyton Manning versus Brady, or do you see it beyond that? What's your thoughts on that? I'm going to bring on the stakeholders.
First question, no, because they don't see each other that often. Okay? I don't think this is – and also the Green Bay Packers are not a quote-unquote complete team. As in, recent years. Also, Brady provides a bit of villainy, if you will. So that's where the intrigue is. Everybody wants to see Aaron Rodgers do this, Captain Comeback thing, imitation that he does, And he's going to have a chance to do that because, as I aforementioned that the Packers aren't a complete team, but even though the Patriots are winning, they are not all that put together either. So the intrigue is actually in the mystery of what each team can do. We don't know really what kind of defense. If you play fantasy football, for instance, like I do, you don't really know week to week what kind of defense that New England has. You also are not really sure about especially since Ty Montgomery just left, what kind of offense that Rodgers is going to entail here. So
yeah.
I don't know what's going on, man. I don't know what's happening, but it's to answer your earlier question, hyped? Nah, it's just a football. If my squad that I rep is not there, normally it's kind of a down year for me.
Right.
So that's what that is. But no, I'm not. I'm intrigued. I'd like to see, but I don't know if I'm hyped. I don't know if I'm.
There's actually other games on the schedule this Sunday for the NFL that are actually good. Rams at Saints at 4 o'clock. That should have been the night game. Chargers and Seahawks is a somewhat of a sleeper. We'll talk about all that and get everybody's perspective.
How about tonight's game though, man? What is that? You only got to be a real diehard to watch this game tonight.
Oh, that's the farewell game.
The Bay Area game.
It's the farewell. By Oakland Raiders, they're on the way to Las Vegas game. This is the last time they're going to be playing. This is the last time those two teams
horrible.
Are going to play in that area. The Raiders are on their way to gambling pastures to Las Vegas, so this is the last of this local rivalry.
Yep.
So, totally forgot, about this. I mean, NBA, NHL, NFL, college football. I got to get your thoughts on college football, but maybe I'll ask about that a little bit later. College basketball, right around the corner, too. Let's get the stakeholders on. Hey, whatever is on their mind, this is like a wild card. Whatever is on their mind in sports, we'll just fire away and we'll just ride with it. Definition of Lit, Big Blue of Arizona, man. Blues Day Recap edition. Big Blue Roundtable will be next week, because we're on a bye week, but we got to talk all sports, man. We're sports junkies, man. Jay, what's going on, bro? How's everything, man? What's on your mind, man?
Well, it definitely is a Blues day. Since we're doing a wild card, something very interesting happened over the week. You guys didn't mention on it. I kind of noticed it on the Cleveland Browns. They finally parted way with the head coach and the offensive coordinator, Haley. I was very surprised to see Haley go. I thought he dialed up some really, really, really interesting some plays out of his playbook. You know, he was a former offensive coordinator, head coach. He was with Arizona. It was very successful. But on Hard Knocks, I don't know if you guys noticed it, but they were kind of butting heads going at it back and forth about how he wanted, you know, Haley to talk to the players, respect, blah, 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 blah. They finally pulled the axe. Jimmy Haslam finally pulled the axe on that and got rid of them both. What do you think? Normally it's a head coach, okay? Or it's an offensive coordinator. But both on the same day. And then perhaps they will come out and say, we're just rebooting. What is your thoughts on that? Because I don't know if there's a message with that or there was dysfunction based on how one felt the other should be treating the players as men. Crossing the line with, you know, possibly, I'm not saying racial overtones, but disrespect. What do you guys think about that?
Chris, you first, and I'll go after that. But you first, Chris.
Well, see, here's the thing. Here's the thing, Mr. Litt. You're talking about the Cleveland Browns, man. Okay, and ever since, let's admit it. Ever since Haslam bought that team, they've been for crap. Okay, there's the turnover at the top as far as presidents. And GMs are just as obnoxious as the head coaching position changes. There's no stability in that organization. That's what the problem is. It's hard for me to even answer that question because, okay, and then you got to factor this in. Todd Haley burns bridges wherever he goes, man. And I don't have to mention the situation that happened when he was head coach in Kansas City. Situations, you know. Actually, Tony Gonzalez can do that for you. But between him and also, Hugh Jackson is known to be abrasive. You know, he may be charismatic sometimes in front of the camera, but he also has his thing behind the scenes too. So you got these two dynamic personalities, and you got these you have a losing franchise with a narcissistic owner, and you get all of this mixed together. You're not surprised at anything that happens with that organization, man. It's not really, to me, a story. They had a potential winning team as recently as 2011, and as recently as 2013. But, you know, one thing that can be drawn about it very simply, is before my man just retired, all his way to the Hall of Fame. He played
Joe
11
Thomas?
Years for them. Thomas. To some degree, he said, look, you know, I'm not hurt, I'm not injured, it's just time for me to quit. When he said that, that told me that there was something else. He's not the kind of cat that throws anybody under the bus or anything, but he pretty much is in just a very nice term, said, hey, look, man, there's too much instability here for me to even be, you know, associated with, so I'm bouncing. That's what he did. It's the Cleveland Browns, man. It's what they do. And I don't know, okay, and from here on, I don't know where they lay their groundwork. I don't know if they got a 3-year plan, a 2-year plan, or a next week plan, or what. But I do know they have a franchise quarterback, okay? And I do know that they have a receiver or two on here that is all pro caliber. So they got to work. They got to do some work. They got to get serious. But it's up to Haslam, man. Haslam is the kind of cat that needles in your business and causes issues between coaches and players. That's probably one of the things that wasn't said this week. So, yeah, that's what I'm looking at, man. I'm looking at the fact that they are instable. And that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, you know what? You know, I'm kind of surprised in a sense because I remember several weeks ago we had one of the post-game shows for our show, and one of the stakeholders alluded to how all the quarterbacks in that one day had excellent days, and our quarterback stung up the joint. What I mean is right. Baker Mayfield went down to Oakland. I think it was the Oakland game. He put up a lot of points, put up 42. And their offense since that game has not been the same. It's been stagnant. It's been a lot of confusion between the offensive coordinator and Haley and Hugh Jackson. Now, Hugh Jackson's been the head coach the last couple of years, and they pretty much won one game in two seasons. And he was really on a short leash. I watched a lot of that Hard Knocks in the offseason. That's some good stuff, man. I know a lot of football fans are not a fan of the Hard Knocks series. Well, I enjoy watching the debate. How they communicate, how they interact. Hugh Jackson was on the short leash, man. And if he did not get it correct, and which it was kind of somewhat of a tricky year in the AFC North because everybody assumed Pittsburgh was going to run away with it. Now you had the stuff right. with Le'Veon Bell and sitting out or holding out, and they've kind of been up and down, up and down. Cincinnati, when you think they're going to take hold of the division, they take a couple steps back. They lose a couple of bad games. They win good games, and they win bad games. And Baltimore, same thing. When you think they're going to take the right step in the division, they take a step back. So I think, to me, definitionally, I think it's Cleveland is looking at it as like, we're going to try to make a change. This Todd Haley situation, him coming from Pittsburgh, going to Cleveland, is not working. The head coach and the offensive coordinator is bumping. Now they got Greg Williams promoted up to head coach for in the interim basis. I don't think that's going to work. But they're trying to find something to salvage this year and salvage Baker Mayfield. That's kind of how I look at it. Jay, anything else you like to add? We'll bring on other stakeholders on the good topic on the Cleveland Browns.
Just really quickly, since we are at the halfway point pretty much for the NFL season, I've noticed a definite swing of power between NFL franchises. Ones that we thought were going to be top-notch, A-tier. Now you have teams that pretty much have done what they need to do the past 3 to 5 years, and they're running the gamut right now. I'm talking about, the Rams. Who else can we throw in there? Kansas City. All these powerhouses are no longer in the NFC West. Is now turning out to be the NFC worst, minus the LA Rams, where the NFC West was the powerhouse. Just want to know what you guys think really quickly on if the evolution has changed as far as the balance of power.
Hey Chris, real quick, if you could answer Jason's question, then we'll get to Billy Bob and get his thoughts on the same questions and get him a topic, whatever he wants to put on the table.
Really, this is going to be a quick one. I actually see it, Jason. I see it. I see this pendulum. You know, it's a cynical thing, man, the NFL. You know, well, all sports leagues are, actually, but I actually see it. I think it goes back to what we were just talking about. You take the Rams, for instance. When you infuse younger, more energetic talent at the coaching and coordinator levels, you're going to get in a new location with players who are interested in being there, with the fan enthusiasm, the bravado that these people are bringing from management, then yeah, you're going to get some pendulum swings from once dormant franchises. So yes, I do see it. I do see the fact that Seattle will be in the toilet in the next couple of years. We're already damn near there. I see Oakland has some building to do. I see Denver's taking a swoon right now. You know, and then you got, and as well as the Cardinals, by the way, and then you got the Rams, and I hate to say it, man, I don't know what's, you're right, Steve, I don't know what Cincinnati's made of sometimes. there's a pendulum swing happening. I can't really pinpoint the science behind it, but I do know that it's good for the game. I like the fact that Kansas City is fired up. I like the fact that the Rams are doing their thing. And I'm missing somebody off the top of my head that won't pop out right now. But somebody else is doing the damn thing too. But it's a good thing. It's a good thing. And I noticed it. And it's going to be like you're going to see it in full effect probably next year, because it always takes about 2 years for this thing to swing all the way over. Yeah, I see it too.
Yeah, and the NFL, especially the National Football League, the divisions, it's like the balance of power has always changed. It seems like every 3 to 4 years. I remember several years ago, go back to the year after the Saints won the Super Bowl. Let's say about, was it 2010, around that time, mm-hmm. 2010, the NFC West was terrible. They got into the playoffs with a losing record, and they beat the Saints in a playoff game. And then all of a sudden, they started to stack up, because remember, the 49ers started to load up on defense. We ended up playing them. The Giants ended up playing them in the NFC Championship, but Seattle was finding their way. They started to get defensive. They started to land their draft picks. I say all this to say, Jason, I thought about this question, too, for several weeks, because the Rams, going back just a couple of years ago when they were under Jeff Fisher, they were not a good functional team. Ended up getting younger, talented coaches. They got an old-school coach in Wade Phillips to do the defensive side of the ball. They ended up getting Sean McVay from the Redskins, and it totally changed their offense. I mean, the team isn't really all that different. They added some pieces since McVay's been the head coach. But look at it like this. Ever since McVay's been the head coach, you saw what he's done with Kirk Cousins in Washington. Now what he's doing with McVay in L.A., I always thought Gurley was a hell of a running back at Georgia. I mean, that doesn't surprise me. I think it surprises a lot of people, but Gurley is a hell of a running back. But then you add in all these other pieces around it, like Robert Woods from the Buffalo Bills. You add in Kupp. You add in other wide receiver, Brandon Cooks.
Brandon Cooks.
Stole them from the Patriots. And then you added Andrew Wentworth, the offensive tackle, who was we kind of passed on him, but he's kind of like 35, but he's still holding it down. But their defense, I'm always an Aaron Donald guy. I was an Aaron Donald guy, and Adamica Sue. They allowed Ogletree to go, and they brought in the other linebackers, and then they added pretty much two island corners, and Aqib Talib, who's been hurt, and Marcus Peters, man. I mean, they just a couple of years ago, they were just still on the cusp of – Right, they were on the cusp of bringing things together, but now, man, they are stacked, man. They got it going on, man. And here's the beautiful thing about their situation: they don't have to pay their quarterback yet. See, I think I'm a firm believer if you're not Breeze or Brady or Rodgers, you should not tie up all that money into the quarterback position. They're in a situation kind of like how Seattle was with Russell Wilson. Before they had to pay Russell Wilson, you could put all that money and put it into your defense and other pieces on your offense or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Until you have to pay that quarterback, man, you better go for it now, man, because you this is prime evidence. You could go around the league. Once you pay that quarterback, man, your franchise is kind of held up. Jason, we're going to come back to you. Billy Bob, let me ask you the same question Jason asked about the Cleveland Browns. And what about other teams in the NFL that you're feeling, you're liking? Billy Bob, welcome back, man. We got a recap edition here, man.
Billy Bob.
Okay. What they do? How y'all doing? What teams are I feeling right now?
Yeah, what teams are you feeling right now? And then what's your thoughts on what happened with Cleveland with the head coach? Jason had brought that up to the discussion. And anything else you would like to around the league, what's your thought?
I'm not saying it's a tough situation, but I guess that's what happens when you get a handful of coordinators on one team. And they fight for a head job. They really want to get their names back out there. So I don't know. I mean, I guess you could say Todd Haley could be a problem if y'all want to say that. No? Can we say that? Because likely everywhere you went, he has some type of problem.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know, but I thought by that happening, I thought the Giants probably could like take a look at Hugh Jackson now as an offensive coordinator. Would that work? Yeah, if y'all want to move, if Pat Shurmur wanted to take more control of the y'all don't think that work?
I said anything. But
actually, let me just find out what the last thing you just said about not paying the quarterback. That's what I really thought we were going to do this year. I really thought that until we got rid of David Webb, I thought that we could have plugged one of these players in, these backup quarterbacks in, didn't have to pay them because we could just start it from scratch. Because, like I said, our team was, like, very young. Like I said, we had a very young team in our offensive side of the ball. And the only people that I mean, that's if they wanted to cut Tyler Eli, but that's what I was thinking about.
Right.
You could have had a quarterback in that we didn't have to pay that much. or to have them play to see what they really have, or they can find it out. But the teams that I'm really feeling as of right now, I almost want to say I'm really feeling that that North Carolina, Cam Newton and them boys. I'm really feeling that for some odd reason.
Yeah.
It may not be high power offense, how Kansas City and the Rams are, but it's something about that team where they just got that physicality about them. It might just be because of Cam, I think.
Right.
But that's a hot team that I'm thinking that might be the surprising team. You know, you always got that one surprising team that just everybody not overlooking, but just. Yeah. May not be paying attention to, but that's what I'm looking at. But what can I say about us, man? I mean, I'm still on us, really, y'all. I really think that I'm kind of happy we didn't get rid of Jack Rabbit, and I was very concerned to hear Landon Collinman was off the trade. That had me kind of scared a little bit.
Yeah. I thought Jack Rabbit was gone for sure. I sure did.
That's
surprised.
But see, that's what I'm saying. That's why I couldn't understand why everybody wanted Jack Rabbit going, because I still think, you know, look at it, he still had a decent 3 years with us. Y'all just got to look at it. He still let up teams in interception.
We're looking at the wrong game. Decent 3 years? That motherfucker's been getting torched out there. Are you serious? He's been getting killed.
But
I just watched a clip. Jason, at the game, we were at the 49er game last year. Marquise Goodwin burnt him. I forgot about that. He got killed on that play. And I think you alluded to that, Jason. Beating the crap out of Jack Rabbit. That was before all the family incident stuff. And this year, he can't cover. He could have, like Manny Dawes would say, he could have covered a twin size matches with a queen size spread.
But I told y'all, I think we all got Jack Rabbit confused. I never looked at Jack Rabbit as a cover cornerback. I just looked at him as a playmaking cornerback, like. He's going to get you the ball when you need it. I mean, whenever you need that turnover, that's the type of person he is. I can't say that I'm not looking for him to go shutting top receivers down. I mean, that's what we paid him for, but I think we had the wrong. That's why I say know your personnel. That's why I'd be like, know your personnel. That's why I came to that simple point. Know your personnel. If everybody thought that Jack Rabbit was a cover cornerback, a shutdown, I never thought that way. I never thought that way. I just thought him as he was a playmaker. He was more of that teammate is. If we have the lead and we know that other team got to throw the ball, he's gonna get us that interception. He's gonna get us the interception. But as far as him getting burnt, I want y'all to look at it. It was due to more of that safety too. I mean that free safety. Curtis Riley, do y'all really think he's that good?
No. See, that's just the thing, Billy Bob. We got a mixture of us being fans and really wanting our players to succeed, combined with Gettleman looking at the spreadsheet, the financial spreadsheet, and seeing who's about to get paid and who's not. That's what he's looking at. You know, they're looking at who's going to get paid next year, who's due, who do I want to keep, who's got the fire. He's looking at it like that. He's looking at it differently from how we're looking at it, and it gets confusing sometimes because some of these guys are, like, for instance, I'm a Collins man. I want my guy out there. I don't want him gone. But I know he's not a Gettleman dude. So, and he's outspoken. So that's I don't know how to handle something like this, right? Because this is a new era in Giants football right here that I have never seen, man. So I don't know. I don't know what the hell's going on. But I do know that that's the reason I expected Jack Rabbit to be gone, what, Monday. I thought he was out the door. And somehow he got spared. I don't know. Is Curtis Riley that good? Curtis Riley is good. Is he superstar level? Hell no.
No. No.
You know, but we just got what we got right here? And it's the same thing for my New York Knickerbockers. What we have right now is a football team. That's it. We don't have a dynamic, a veteran. There's no adjective you could put on this team.
It's a little bit different. The way a football roster is constructed versus a basketball and a hockey team. I think
I'm not talking about this construction. I'm just talking about what kind of culture you can give off as a team. What does your team define? They have diehard fans, the New York Giants, but their fans are not receiving the satisfaction from the management who is constructing the team that they deserve. That's what I'm talking about.
Gotcha. I understand.
Yeah.
Now, Billy Bob brought up the Panthers, and you know what? I think they're kind of under the radar in that division. There's something within their scouting. They got a new owner, and the new owner's all in. Because remember, the owner for the Panthers, he was like a minority owner for the Steelers. So he's kind of all in with whatever Ron Rivera is doing, what the assistant general managers is doing, and the personnel that they brought. I mean, they got an offensive coordinator who's been around. North Turner, he's been around for what? Decades,
ever,
you know?
Ever.
Forever. And he's got Cam Newton playing very, very well with no name receivers. I know they had drafted DJ White, and then they still got Christian McCaffrey, and Olsen hasn't really been used like that. But
yeah,
they play a smash mouth. It's nothing fancy about them. It's go out. It's RPO type of situation. They're going to be a tough out. I agree with Billy Bob. Now they're not really high on my list, but they are. You got to go out and play. You saw what happened with them in Baltimore. Baltimore went in there. I thought Baltimore was going to at least have a chance with them, and they smoked Baltimore. Baltimore was having a good year defensively. So they've done that to a lot of teams at home. You know, I want to go back to Jason, but before I do this, Chris, because I got to get this off my chest, because we are huge college sports fans, football, basketball. Yeah. I mean, there's some big games this weekend, but I try to tell stakeholders to at least watch college football, especially if you're a Giants fan. You've got to at least know what the hell's coming out of college.
Yeah.
This weekend in college football, and I want to get your perspective, you know, Penn State versus Michigan, hell of a game. What's your thoughts on Notre Dame, Chris? What about these huge SEC games? This is going to take up the whole Saturday. You got Alabama and LSU. I mean, that's Foreman and Ali right there. SEC
I know,
West
I'm gonna
game.
A whole lot of football this weekend,
got,
too. But
you
okay,
got Georgia, Kentucky. Kentucky, a football program, underratedly is doing their thing. And if
they're
beat Georgia.
Battle Georgia, but that game is over. I'm sorry. I can't see Georgia losing that game, bro. I'm sorry.
I hear you. What's your thoughts on college? Before we go back to Jason, what's your thoughts on college football right now? And then we go back to Jason, whatever topic he wants to bring on around sports. It doesn't matter. What's your thoughts, man? I got to get his opinion on that.
Well, my thought has only been on this Saturday night's game with Alabama and LSU. That's my thought. Okay. I've been looking at that game wondering exactly, because it's LSU's obsession year round on that campus, man.
Right.
So,
right.
it's on how to beat this team.
That is a great game.
LSU coach after LSU coach has always heard from their boosters, from their the supporters of all kinds, you better beat Bama. And it's really live right now, man. So, and also on the other side of the coin, though, and I know people are going to look at me cross-eyed, man, but the truth of the matter is this may be Bama's best team. This team is not built to slip up at all. They're not built to be behind at any point in this game. They're ferocious. Let me see. Okay. Well, that's the headliner. And you mentioned the other two games, Penn State and Georgia, Kentucky. Okay, Penn State at Michigan. Well, Steve, I don't know how to say this, man, but I truly believe, as much as I love the Lions, and I've always had it, I've always loved them, I think Michigan is going to put a complete mud hole in their ass. Penn State has not really – they have not been – the record is very deceiving. What are they, 19th? What are they, 16th ranked? They're deceiving. They have never really, really been putting anybody away this year. And also, they damn near lost the first game to it's escaped me. Okay, it'll come to me in a minute. But somebody that should have no business being there, that should have beat them. They fumbled and it gave Penn State a chance to get back in the game and win in overtime. I can't think of who it is right now.
Uh-huh.
But Penn State is going to Ann Arbor with a half-assed goddamn offense and an unpredictably lousy defense. Okay? Mm. And I don't think I'm serious. That's what they really, really are. They're not invincible. Okay? And Michigan has an axe to grind, too, because that whole That whole atmosphere over there in Ann Arbor has been pumped ever since Ohio State stunk the joint out a couple of weeks ago. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't know what the hell's going on over there, man. I don't know what the hell's happening with my favorite college football team. They suck. But my thoughts are, I'm looking at Michigan in almost a laugher, man. Honestly, I think it's going to be a laugher. I think you're going to get a 38-10 game here. Okay, I really think that the fanship. Yes, I am. Yes, I hear you.
I'm
sighing over there.
I think
they're going to whip their ass. Kentucky is going to give you some nice flashes and give you a competitive game this week. But, bro, that Bulldog pride, man. It's a little bit hard to overcome. I can't see their running game being stopped at all this year. I'm sorry, Steve. I can't see Kentucky winning this Saturday. It's called one of the highlight games of the weekend. I don't know. I think it's over now. Georgia Bulldogs on a mission. Steve.
Yeah, I feel you on that. I'll be real quick. I want to get Jason whatever his thoughts on, if he has any, on college football and, of course, anything back in the NFL or any league. But you're right about Kentucky. Well, Kentucky does well. Georgia does very well, too, meaning Kentucky runs the ball. They can't throw the ball worth a lick. So their thing is always run the ball. So
not at all.
If you watch any of the Kentucky games, I watched a couple of those games. They run with three running backs. They got Benny Snell. They got Terry Wilson, Asim Rose. Those guys can run the rock. But Georgia can stop the run, too. See, the problem is Kentucky
throw the ball. I agree with you.
Kentucky can't throw the ball, and Georgia can't pass rush. They have New York Giant issues with the pass rush. So they'll be fine this week versus Kentucky. They really will. Now, as far as Michigan, you're right, man. Michigan, I mean, Shea Patterson's had a very good year, man. There was that one game, I think it was Michigan State earlier this year, and then they got a good wide receiver core. As far as Donovan Peoples Jones and then Zach Gentry, they got guys that can spread around the ball. Man, Penn State.
Yeah.
I thought Penn State lost their season when they lost at home in that wideout game versus Ohio State. Jason, we're going to go back to you, man. I mean, college football, because a lot of Giant fans always talk about, oh man, which quarterbacks are coming out? Is there any quarterbacks that I don't know? I'm a huge Will Greer fan. I don't think the Giants should get him. I love Will Greer. Justin Herbert, Oregon.
Against Utah. Yep.
Ooh.
Yep.
Jason, anything else you would like that? It doesn't matter if it's Giants related, non-Giants related, college football, pro sports. Oh. And by the way, what's your all-time top five Seton Hall starting five?
Wow.
And Chris, you got to get to that Syracuse lineup too. But Jay.
Oh, Seton Hall. Here we go.
Here we go.
We'll go with Ramon Ramos, Pookie Winnington, Terry DeHare. Those are my favorite three out of Seton Hall. Mark Bryant. That's four right there. As far as players that came out, I can't give you number five, but those four were my faves. Hey, real quick,
John.
I just wanted to really quickly give an early warning to all the stakeholders, whoever else is listening on the internet and through the podcast. They're going to listen to them later. I'm helping out my good friend Steve from L.A. We're doing the tailgate up there for the San Francisco game. We got about, I don't know, 40, 45 people. I'm not going to let my dude do it by himself, so I'm going up there to help him set up and run that with him. But anyway, whoever's planning on going to San Francisco, we're going to post a picture of where we're at in the parking lot and hope to see some fellow stakeholders, new friends, new fans, people that I've seen throughout the year. Just wanted to kind of throw that out there.
We can always readdress that next Thursday. Don't forget it. We can always readdress that next Thursday.
Oh, yeah. Listen, I'm going to go to basketball with you really quickly. Another kind of a circus show is the Cleveland Cavaliers. They got three very – No, check this out. Hey, I know we're all laughing. They got three interesting situations. You got J.R. Smith that wants to get traded. He's a head case. I don't even know why he's on that team, especially after the debacle last year. Tyronn Lue gets booted out after basically assisting LeBron James for an NBA championship.
Right, right.
And you have got Larry Drew. My dude Larry Drew doesn't want to be the full-time head coach with his assistant coach's salary. He wants assurances, and I don't blame the dude, too. So, I mean, that to me is very comical. So we are seeing the Cavaliers post LeBron James imploding internally.
Man, wow. You know, the definition of lit came with the fire. Seton Hall all-time starting five, Cleveland Cavaliers, Chris. Hey, Chris, you want to quickly chime in on the Cavs situation? Then we'll get Bakes on. And Bakes, when we bring you on, man, we've got to get your all-time starting five for the Orange, man, for the men's basketball team.
Bakes is going to have to come on sooner, man. It's a shit show right now in Cleveland, man. I can't. I don't know what they need to do something badly, man. That team won the world championship.
Well, the head coach plays for the Lakers, man. The head coach plays for the Lakers now, man. We all knew that.
You better. That's horrible.
For real.
Hey, bring on Bakes, man. I have nothing to say about Cleveland. They fired two major sports. They fired their coaches on the same day. Who does that?
Before we bring on Bakes, I got it. You know what, Jason? I might have to bring your mic back open. And Chris, same thing. Chris, at one point I had Klay Thompson at number five, number three-point shooter five on my list. He's probably bumped up to three after this week. He probably leaped two spots. What was your thoughts on that, Klay Thompson?
I have
a problem
with
that.
What? Yeah. He was not being guarded, man. Please.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
He was being guarded.
I watched it.
But by who? This is horrible. He was shooting like Kobe did in his 81-point game, man.
Kobe shot like 80 times that game versus the Raptors. He went for 81. He shot like. Did you see that?
I am more impressed. I was more impressed, and I hate to say it, but I was more impressed with Kevin Durant shooting, since we're talking about the Warriors, Kevin Durant shooting against us in Madison Square Garden with a crowd lost their mind. All they were talking about on 33rd Street and beyond was what they had just seen. And I tell you what, that's impressive. That's impressive. That's how you end the game. Klay Thompson, he's done this before. I didn't see him. But I mean, on TV. But I saw him score 37 in the quarter one time, man.
That game. That was great.
Yeah, it was. He's look. Anytime you can do something like that, it's impressive anyway. But it just didn't give me that certain thrill that you get from certain athletes that do incredible things. I just didn't get it. That's all. Anyway, let's move on.
Now, Bakes, I gotta get your because you're an alum of the Syracuse Orange. And I got to know, off the top of your head, your all-time starting five for the Syracuse Orange. Now, Chris, I want you to give him your list after Bakes gives his. But, Bakes, anything in sports, this has to be Giants-related, anything in the NFL, because Jason had brought up the Cleveland Browns situation, the Rams, the Chiefs, the Panthers. Billy Bob brought up the Panthers. Bakes, what is on your mind in sports in general? And then I got to get your all-time starting five from an alum. And then go back to Chris because I got to give him my list too. Bakes, what's good, bro?
What's good, family? Hey, man, everything's good. Shit, man. I'm glad we can't lose this week. That's what I'm happy about. We can't lose this week.
We're
undefeated this week. That's like Craig getting fired on his day off. We can't lose
right?
In a damn box. You know, but all time, I'm off the top. I go the Pearl,
okay.
God rest the dead.
Definitely.
Sherm Douglas. Sherm and the Pearl in the backcourt.
Okay.
Then we're going to go small. I'm going to give it to the all-time leading scorer, Lawrence Moten.
Okay.
And then we're going to go with we're going to go with the power forward, the undisputed
it's
NBA number one power forward. DC, you know him as Derek Coleman, the Gooch, and a long NBA journeyman, Ronnie Cycli at the
there
center.
There you go. Good list.
Cool.
I'm in agreement with four out of five. Chris, can you give him your five on the Syracuse? And mine is a little different. But I like
I go back in time. I think the middle belongs to this cat named Roosevelt Bowie, who brought basketball, you know, up to the new age, man. He played around maybe 82, 83 like that for the Orange men. DC's an obvious pick at the four, man. Come on, now. There's no disputing that. I'm giving Melo in his 1 year that small forward position because he came in, did his job, and he walked. I loved it. That was an exciting year, too. Very exciting. In the backcourt, I got two cats. It was tough, man, because I wanted to throw Sherm Douglas in there really, really badly, and he does.
Right.
Number. He's like the first cat off the. He's my sixth man. But I have to put Dave Bing and obviously the Pearl in the backcourt, man. A Hall of Famer and a College Hall of Famer. So, you know, hey, it had to work that way. Syracuse basketball been great for a long
time. Absolutely. That's a great lineup. The only reason why I didn't put Melo in there, because Melo was, even though he did do something that none of those guys did, he was only there 1 year.
That's
the only reason why I didn't put Melo in all the time. But, I mean, he does deserve a nod because he did bring the chip home in 03. I remember seeing him in the McDonald's All-American game. You know, one of my boys, I was like, yo, he going to bring it home for us. And that team, they did the thing. We came close a couple times, but he did bring it home. So he definitely deserves an honorable mention.
But before we go back to Billy Bob Bakes, actually, my list is similar to yours, but Chris reminded me of that Dave Bing, man. I had to take Moten. I love Moten.
Oh, Dave Bing is a little bit before my time.
But
definitely Hall of Famer, the coach's roommate.
That
was Boeheim's roommate.
That's right. Boeheim's roommate.
And, you know, so definitely
the
former mayor.
Mm-hmm. Yep, Detroit.
A Motortown. Yep.
That's right.
Definitely a great orange, man. There's some greats that walked through them doors, man.
They did.
Definitely.
Seton Hall, too, by the way. I love the big. See, I'm a Big East fan from the 80s and 90s, man. I don't know what the hell happened after that.
The gritty Big East. Yeah, I mean.
And Syracuse started really. Actually, Syracuse was the genesis of the Big East to me. Syracuse University. So, yeah. Definitely, man. Oh, I'm sorry, Steve. Go ahead, move it on, man.
Oh, Biggs, I got to ask you another question. Just NFL general, man. Do you think the Rams are for real? We talked a little bit earlier about the hype of the Packers, Patriots, Aaron Rodgers, Brady game. Is it more hype, or is it the real deal? Anything else you'd like to add? Then we'll go back to Billy Bob, get his thoughts, and then we can get into some pick-ems and then go around.
In terms of the L.A. Rams, I think they are for real. I think, you know, in sports, on offense, or either three-head monster, they got Gurley, they got Goff, and they got some wide receivers. You know, they got good defense. They got strength up the middle. I don't know all their talent, but they got some talent, and they're winning. They can. I watched probably the most exciting Thursday night football game a couple of weeks ago that the Rams were playing, and Goff was out there putting on a clinic. I mean, an absolute clinic. When they said that dude was washed, and that dude got talent, and they're stacked. Now, I have them going to the Super Bowl. My problem is, on the other side, I really believe that the Patriots are going to go back again because I don't see anyone that's tough enough to beat them. And because they play in their weak East division, they're guaranteed 8 wins, and it makes me sick to my goddamn stomach.
Really?
It makes me sick to my stomach.
Really?
But, you know, in terms of that matchup, I do believe Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback. I don't – if the only stat for being the GOAT is championships, and NFL championships, then okay, it'll be Brady. But I don't think Brady is better than Joe Montana. I don't think Brady's better than – any of those guys that were like elite coming up, Dan Marino, he just got the hardware because he probably had a better team. I don't think Brady has done anything clutch in any of those championships. But anyway, the matchup, I think Aaron Rodgers is a better quarterback, but those matchups on his quarterback versus quarterback, they don't play against each other. You know, so it's not, it'd be different if it was like, you know, Lawrence Taylor versus Joe Montana. That's a matchup. Because they're going actually against each other. Now, I'm sure they're going to put up some points.
Both
it's going
to
be exciting. They're going to hype the game up. But you know, I'm not. Y'all already know I'm not a fan of Tom Brady. So, in no way.
I know that.
I believe he's a system quarterback, and Bill Belichick is the puppet master. But that's how I feel.
All right. Cool.
Because when he's gone, they win. When he's hurt or suspended, they still win.
Yeah, who was that
when
quarterback?
I remember that
quarterback won 11 games that year. I remember
who?
That.
Yeah, they had the Castle.
When Brady got
Matt Castle.
Matt Castle. They still won 11 games. So you telling me you're that great? When Peyton Manning was out that season, they won like one game in Indy. But that's for another show, another argument. I don't believe he's that great. I believe he's a system quarterback, and he's in the perfect system. That's it.
All right.
But that's just me.
All right. Billy Bob, anything else you would like to add? Any sport, it doesn't matter. You heard what Bakes said, definition of lit, myself, Chris. Anything else you'd like to add, Billy Bob? Any sport, it does not matter. What league?
I'm shocked that y'all didn't even mention this one guy from Syracuse. And that was John Wallace. How y'all don't mention him?
Oh,
I got him coming up
the
bench.
That?
He's the eighth man off my bench. He's behind.
I got him on my second team. Yep.
Yeah. He's second team, man. He's behind Billy Owens.
That guy.
He's behind Billy Owens.
I used to watch a lot of Georgetown, so that's how I kind of see him play. All right, but as far as college, there's a lot of good players out there that I seen the light. Y'all don't like the running back from out of Stanford Love. That's a good back.
Love is good.
Back.
Yeah.
I mean,
he's good. He's very good.
Love is good.
Good game versus
Will Greer. Let me tell y'all. Let me tell about Will Greer. I seen a lot of this dude because I'm a big Florida fan, Florida Gators fan. So I seen a lot of him, which is he's great. He's good, even though we might not need him. But I'm still out on the ropes with the quarterback from Oregon. I mean, everybody been telling me
like
to look
Herbert
at him, but when I watched him in that, when I watched him in that Washington game, I was kind of like sold off by that. I was really thrown off by that there.
Yeah, I didn't like him at all.
Just
they like his life.
Watch him.
I didn't like
he's
him.
A big quarterback. He's a big quarterback.
Are we saying he's a prototype quarterback for him? I mean, that can come in.
No. I'm saying he's a big quarterback. He's 6'6". I mean, they like the fact he's a big quarterback, and he probably will fit Shermer's offense better than Will Greer, even though I like Will Greer more. That's my point.
Too.
Okay. And as far as Penn State, I've been watching closely. Y'all need to take a look. I don't know this guy's name, but they have a wide receiver that kind of big.
Yeah.
He's number 84.
Yeah.
I seen his glimpse. He's here and there. I guess he's one of them type. He could be good if he get into the NFL and they get him on the right track. Yeah, he's looking good.
Yeah.
But as far as in the SEC, let me tell y'all about Kentucky. Don't underestimate Kentucky because they got more of that Duke type of chemistry where they got nothing but seniors on that team. So they well seasoned. This is why they're causing a lot of havoc out there. There's a lot of seniors on that team. So that's why they're looking good. And Georgia, let me tell y'all something. Georgia is one of them teams that always be like, yeah, but no. That's what it is. That's what I'm telling y'all, that's what Georgia going to always be. Long as you got that LSU sitting right there above them, and then you got the Alabama. I don't even think Auburn will come up in there and upset Georgia. That's how I look at it. But
okay,
that's all I got for you. I'm talking about college, man.
Okay.
All right, since he brought up the Auburn Tigers, let's bring on Mr. War Eagle himself. They're talking about the team, Robbie. Had everything in my chair. They're talking about the War Eagles, man. We're talking about anything, sports, college football, pros, don't matter. We talked about Cleveland. Anything that's on your mind does not have to be Giants related. Add everything in, YG, and then we'll get into the pick ones. Robbie, what's your thoughts, man? Anything sports. It doesn't
not
matter.
Giants related. What's up, man? Not Giants related. I like that right now.
Right. He was just talking about the War Eagles, man. He was talking about Auburn.
Yeah,
you
man.
Talk about Auburn like
yeah,
that?
Man. My bad. I'm late. But, hey, I personally have been saying, for me, the top quarterback in this class, obviously, hands down, is Herbert. That's just a lock. But for me personally, you know, a lot of people disagree. You know how I am with Baker. You know, once I have my mindset, it's, you know, Stidham's my number two, personally, and a lot of people are going to fight me on that. I'm not a huge fan of Greer, not a huge fan of Locke. Yet, I mean, you know, I don't really see much in them. I just don't. So I really like Stidham, man. I've watched him play live several times. I've watched his film. I like Stidham. I think he'll probably be an early second to really early third, but I can't see him getting past the second. But I like Stidham, man. I mean, he plays in the big, you know, he plays in the big games and he does well. He's had a kind of a sporadic year, though. But as a whole, I mean, he stepped right in for us and he was great. And he's been good. You know, he's tough. He can move. He's vocal. He's got good leadership. And really just a good quarterback, man. Good guy, good quarterback. And, you know, a lot of people knock me for it. But, you know, a lot of people don't value it like I do. But for me, one of the biggest quarterback traits, and it's why I love Carson Wentz the way I do, is if you're a good person, genuinely a good person, and you give a shit about other people, and you're right in your mind, in my opinion, with your faith and your family, and you treat everything like that, that's what a quarterback entails to me, not someone like Michael Vick. That's just me. It's a personal opinion. So, you know, I really like someone like that. And the big reason for that, too, is the only person I would wait for outside of Tua is Jake Fromm. I am a huge Jake Fromm fan, man. I love Jake Fromm. But I'm kind of going all over the place right now. I'm sorry about that. Because everyone asked me.
That's what it's about today. That's what it's about.
Yeah, you know, they're like, should we take Herbert this year? If you have the number one pick, number two pick, yes. Yeah, you take the quarterback, you go with it. You know, a lot of people are saying you wait until next year, you wait for Tua or Fromm, you ride out another year of Eli. You know, man, no. No. You know what I mean? It's just everyone says you can get Bridgewater on a year contract or you can ride out Eli. Why? Why are we still riding out Eli? No. You know what I mean? Herbert will be the best quarterback of that class. He is the quarterback of that class as a whole. So if you have the number one pick, you take him. It really shouldn't be a debate.
But Robbie, the way the Giants are playing, man, they're going to get the number one overall pick, man.
Yeah,
they're not going to pass on Nick Bosa.
Right.
You know they're not. So that's a decision that Gettleman really has to put together.
You know, here's my issue, man. Here's the other big issue. A lot of people say, you know, if you take Herbert, you keep Eli for the next year. If you take him and then you keep Eli to learn behind him, what are you learning behind? What are you, you know, hey, you know, everyone has a different opinion. What are you learning behind in Eli Manning? No, you take your quarterback, you start him day one. You save $17 million in cap. You get rid of Eli. We start our new guy. So personally, I would take Herbert if and when we do have the number one pick, pair him with Barkley. Yeah, yeah.
One real quick about Herbert, because then we'll get into the picks for time. The only thing, this is an intangible I don't like about Herbert, but maybe I'm wrong.
Right.
He's from Eugene, Oregon. He grew up in Eugene, Oregon. You think, you know, transferring all that, being in Oregon his whole entire life and bringing them to New York City, you think that's going to, you know, there's that element of the big city. You think he can handle that? Coming from upper northwest, you know, Oregon, you think he can handle that? Because, you know, a lot of people can't handle that. That's real.
Yes and no. Yes and no, man, because that's what everybody in the NFL usually ends up doing. It's very rare that they end up coming from where they're from. And you know, a lot of
I'm
guys –
I'm talking about quarterback,
from, like,
quarterback particularly.
Yeah,
quarterback.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of – yeah. You know, I think, if anything, it would be a good change of pace. You know, that's a really good question, man, because I don't know – not everyone's Saquon Barkley. You know what I mean? Not everyone comes into the league – from a different setting, you know, and can handle the NY media. But as a whole, from what I've seen, I can't really see that being an outstanding issue. We'll know more. That's the kind of stuff you'll know more come the combine, in my opinion. But I don't view that as a factor that would concern me. I don't view the biggest thing that I don't view as a concern, and this stands out more to me than, like, personality for that, is weather. Weather's not a concern. Oregon's cold as shit. He goes to New York, it gets cold as shit. That's not a problem. It's not like you're going from L.A. to New York. So, no, I don't really view that as being an outstanding issue. That's nothing that can't be cleaned up. So I don't put that on his head personally. But it's a good take. I see what you're saying completely. I just don't. You know, you could say the same thing about Jake Fromm from Georgia to New York. You could say the same thing about Tua from Alabama to New York. It's the same thing for anyone. It's just how they carry themselves and how, you know, I view the weather above that. But that's my opinion on it. You know, I'm not saying you're wrong. It's just for me, I don't hold that over his head. No, not at all.
Okay.
Gotcha. Cool. Go ahead, Chris. Let's get to the picks.
Pick time. All right. Cue the music, Maestro, please.
All right.
All right. Jason, definition of lit. And everybody else, here's what the pick thought is. Atlanta, Washington. Jason, how do you see that game?
Washington.
The Chargers at Seattle.
Seattle with the upset.
Okay, at home, by the way. The Rams at New
yes,
Orleans.
That's going to be a high-scoring shootout. Rams are going to probably prevail by 3 points. Rams.
Okay. Yeah, I believe you're right. And Green Bay at New England.
Just for the simple fact, Green Bay. Green Bay.
Okay. Gotcha. All right. Real quick. Gotcha. Billy Bob. Right quick. Atlanta at Washington. Billy Bob. Billy Bob, you there? Okay, I don't know where Billy
Bob
is.
Billy Bob. All right, we'll go back to him.
Okay, Bates.
Where yes,
at,
sir.
Man? Atlanta
right
and
here.
Washington. ATL and Washington.
Birds.
Chargers at Seattle.
Go, Chargers, go.
Yeah, Rams at New Orleans.
Ooh, that's a good matchup.
That's going to be a shootout. I'll be sitting right there in that one.
Well, I'm picking the Rams to go to the Super Bowl, so Rams.
Okay, and Green Bay at New England, and I know how you're going to call it.
Oh, God. I want Aaron Rodgers to win, but I think
I
think them the evil empire has a better team.
Got it.
Brady and the Patriots.
Okay. Robbie, you still on the line, bro? At everything NYG?
Of course. My
Atlanta
bad.
At Washington.
Washington.
Chargers at Seattle.
Chargers.
Rams at New Orleans.
Oh, Rams. Of course. They're winning
Green
the Super
Bay
Bowl.
At New
back.
England.
Green Bay. Aaron Rodgers, best quarterback in the league. Back.
Okay. Billy Bob, you back yet? Okay, Billy Bob's not back yet. Okay, for me, I'm a go Washington, Seattle. I think New Orleans and that crowd is gonna be too loud, man, for golf. So I'm gonna go with the Saints, and then I hate to say it, but I got Brady going doing his thing. What you got, Azul?
Wow, me and you got the same exact picks. I'm going Redskins, Seattle, Saints, and New England. Actually, all home teams.
All home teams.
Cool.
Okay.
Let's get some final thoughts real quick.
Okay, we got only 2 minutes, y'all, so let's break it down, 30 seconds. Final thought. Billy Bob, you still gone? Are you here or what? Never mind. Jason. Give me a quick final thoughts. Yes, sir.
Yeah, final thoughts. According to David Gettleman, Eli still has many, many years. on a serious note, hey, I still can't stop thinking about that Atlanta takeover, man. I mean, I still can't stop thinking about it. It was bomb. Guys, have a nice weekend.
Okay. More to come. Thank you, Jay. Hey, definition of lit. All right. Robbie, final thought, right quick.
Yeah, man, like I said, I'm pissed off myself. I was late, but a lot to come. It's another year where we look forward to the draft more than we do the next game. Great.
Gotcha.
Guys, have a great weekend. Be safe. Take care of yourself. Bleed blue, it hurts, but bleed blue. Talk to you guys soon.
It does. Okay, check us out on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Google. Bake, final thought.
The final thoughts. I really had to get at the fans this past week with the nonsense after the loss about trading Odell and things like that. I had to get at them at Facebook. I was really disgusted by that, and I had to see who the real fans were. Secondly, Kyle Aletta basically threw any opportunity he had to get some starting time this week by getting arrested for disobeying a traffic sign. And in terms of the season, it's over, but the front line is the season still continues. We got events coming up. Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
Bleed blue.
Bleed blue. That's Bakes. Speaking for Robbie and Billy Bob and Jason, this is the Professor. Hey, check us out on iTunes, Instagram. Instagram too. Podcast Republic, Apple, everything, man. Check out our archives. We're here for the taking. Take us home, Azul.
Hey, you know what? I'm gonna throw a curveball at you, Chris. The all-time starting five for the St. John Redmen on the spot. Give me your all-time starting
God.
Five right now.
Oh, God, 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 God. Mullen, Jackson.
Okay. Yeah.
Shit. Walter Berry.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I can't believe this. I'm having a brain fart here. David Russell and I can't think of anybody else. Damn. Oh, Bill Whittington.
We got four out of five. Four out of five okay. For me, man. We got four out of five. My other guy was Malik Sealy, so that was me.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Malik Sealy.
Thank you. Sorry. That's my guy, too. I'm taking Whittington off and replacing him with Sealy.
Oh, man. What a great episode, guys, man. Good talking sports all around, man. This is what it's about, sports junkies, man. We'll be back with the Big Blue Roundtable next Thursday, but it was good to get you guys on the recap, talking all sports. This is what it's all about, man. Frontliner stakeholders, Sangre Azul, Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue.
Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Blee blue, 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 blee blue.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.